Okay, so we're in Nehemiah chapter 8. Oh, the children got to be dismissed? Yeah. Grateful for wives, you know. They always have a way of dressing me up. Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse 13. The title is called Harbinger. A harbinger is a precursor, it's a foreshadow of something that precedes an indication, the approach of something or someone. I guess it's like having the first figs. It shows you that there's going to be a harvest coming soon. So in this book of Nehemiah, we see there are three feasts that are occurring during this chapter. Feast of Trumpets. There's the Feast of Atonement or Yom Kippur. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles. I want to speak a little bit today about the Feast of Trumpets. So let's read verse 13 first. Then on the second day, the heads of the father's household, of all the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe, that they might gain insight into the words of the law. Three things or three words I want to speak on. They gathered to the scribe. What is the position of a scribe? A scribe is a scholar who copies the word of God. He's a copyist and he's a teacher of the word of God. So they gathered to the teacher to gain insight into the words of the law. So I would like us to understand why we come together. First of all, we gather, the Bible says, let us consider how to stimulate. And that word stimulate actually means to provoke into a flame, one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another more as you see the day drawing near. So they gathered to Ezra to hear the word of God. You are gathering here to hear the word of God, to see what God is saying. Now, a scribe, of course, had a position, just as much as everyone in this body of Christ has a position that God has placed you in to bring glory to his name and to keep a healthy body of Christ. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, in the building up of the body of Christ. So he's given us different positions. Some of evangelists, he's given me the position of a pastor teacher. So in a sense, I'm like a scribe. I'm teaching the word of God. But what is the reason for it? Well, they came to hear the word of God to gain insight. That's what a pastor or teacher is supposed to do, is bring application, to bring insight to what the word of God is saying. So we know that the Feast of Trumpets is, I'm sorry, the Feast of Tabernacles is about chapter 8. But I'm not going to go into that feast yet. But I want to explain a little bit how all of these seven feasts were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Or I should say the first four were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The first four of the seven feasts occurred during springtime. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, it's called. They have already been fulfilled by Christ in the New Testament. The final three feasts, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacle, occurred during the fall, all within a short 15-day period. Many Bible scholars and commentators believe that these four feasts have not yet been fulfilled by Jesus. As the four spring feasts were fulfilled literally and right on the actual feast day in connection with Christ's first coming, these three four feasts it is believed by many, will likely be fulfilled literally in connection to the Lord's second coming. I believe that. What was the Passover? On that very day, the Passover, of course, is instituted by God through Moses, put the blood of a sacrificial lamb, an innocent lamb, a blameless lamb, on the doorpost, and the angel of death will pass over that house. That's what the Passover was. The fulfillment of it was Christ, who is our Passover. He was the lamb that was slain, the sinless lamb slain for our sins, so that death, literal spiritual death, passes over you. Death is going to hell forever. That's what death is. It's not sensation of consciousness. You're conscious, but you're in this place called hell, and it's forever, and that's called death, spiritual death. So the Passover that Jesus fulfilled on that day was giving himself as a sacrificial lamb for our sins. Unleavened bread happened during that time as well. Unleavened bread. Leaven, if you know, is yeast. And yeast decomposes that element that it's in. That's what yeast does. It decomposes something. Now, we know that Jesus is the unleavened bread. His body was never decomposed. There was no yeast in him. No sin. He was sinless. The reason why we die and we decompose is because we have yeast in us. We have sin in us. So yeast and leaven is the same. It's synonymous with sin symbolically in the scripture. So Jesus was the unleavened bread. He had no sin, and therefore he was not decomposed. His body did not rot, in other words. First fruits. That holiday happens right after Passover. Christ is the first fruits. First fruits, he rose from the dead as the first fruits of this new creation of the resurrection. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:20 that Jesus was resurrected on the very day, on that very day of first fruits, which is one of the reasons that Paul refers to him as the first fruits from the dead. So we are the harvest. We too will rise from the dead. But Christ fulfilled the Passover. He fulfilled literally on that day the unleavened bread. He fulfilled literally the fruit of the first fruits by rising from the dead. And then we also know about Pentecost. Pentecost, the word Pentecost means 50 days in the Greek. And 50 days after the Passover, it was called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, which was 50 days after. And what the priests would do, when you look into Leviticus chapter 23:17, that feast, they would get two loaves of bread and wave them before the Lord. However, these two loaves of bread would have leaven in them, yeast. None of the sacrifices would have any leaven in them because leaven represents sin. But these two loaves of bread would have leaven in them. So on that very day, 50 days later, after Passover, the priest would come, and that's why it was filled with people, because that was one of the feasts that they were obligated to come to Jerusalem, besides the Passover and the first fruits and leavened bread. Those four feasts, they were required to come to Jerusalem. So what happened was, during Pentecost, the priest would bring out these loaves of leaven. This represents the leaven of both the Jew and of the Gentile. They would come together, sinners come together and get filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened on the day of Pentecost, we know, is that the Holy Spirit was now on two people becoming one. Both the sinners, the Jew and the Gentile, that's how God sees the world, Jew and Gentile, and both would come now and be blessed with the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost represents the beginning of the church. Now there's a period of time. It's called the church age. It began with Pentecost 2,000 years ago, round numbers. And this period of time is leading up to the next feast. The next feast that Jesus will fulfill is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. And we know from the scripture, when it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, that with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to live with the Lord. So that Feast of Trumpets is what I want to speak about a little bit today, right now. A harbinger, as I read earlier, is a foreshadow. It's something that precedes and indicates the approach of something or someone. I'd like to present to you this morning some of the signs that I see that is a harbinger before Christ comes back, and he's warning or he's giving us light for his church to prepare herself. He says in Revelation to rejoice, for the bride has made herself ready. And then in that same chapter of 19, Christ comes back with those in white, which I believe and which others believe is the saints of God at the end of the seven-year tribulation, and he sets up his millennial at that time. But God has given us a harbinger to understand for us to be ready for his second return. Are you ready? Luke 12, 54 reads this way. Then prior to this verse 54, he was speaking about being ready. There were two in the field. One was taken, one was left behind. He was talking about be ready for his coming. And then in 54, Jesus told the crowds, when you see a cloud coming in the west, you immediately say there's going to be a storm. And that's what happens. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say it's going to be hot. And so it is. And you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, yet you don't know how to interpret the present time. Jesus clearly says at different times in the book of Revelation, you have ears, hear what the Spirit is saying. He's not just giving us a surface look. He wants us to get insight to what's happening. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1 and 3, now at that time, Michael, the great prince, who is the archangel, who stands over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who was found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust, dead, will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. It's going to be two resurrections. There's a resurrection at the rapture, and then there's a resurrection right after the millennial when the righteous will be raised up. But not right after the millennial, I should say, right before the thousand-year millennial, the righteous martyrs and the Old Testament saints will be raised up. And then after the 1,000 years, the unrighteous will be raised up from the book of Revelation. But listen to this part. It says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You have insight. You lead others to Christ. We could see very clearly, and I want to bring that out a little bit more in a few minutes. Do you have insight to what's going on in the world? Do you see this as just natural, or do you see it as something beyond? It's a harbinger. It's a taste of what is to come. And I'll explain to that in a minute. But it says those who have insight, those who see the urgency, those who see the bride has made herself ready, church, we're not in the dark. God doesn't leave his people in the dark. Amen. We are not in the dark. We are children of light. And he's given us very clear harbinger signs to be ready and to bring people to Christ. Amen. It's not going to get any clearer. Yes. And I'll explain. But our job and our duty at this time as well is to be ready and to get other people ready, to bring them to Christ. Yes. Because there's a time that's coming where they will not come to Christ. And many are not coming to Christ now, and I'll explain. But it tells me here that, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. It's sealed up to the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Well, we see that very clearly. But now I want to show you in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 through 15, that the book is unsealed. The Lord told Daniel to seal the book until it's time. It's time. And in the book of Revelation, the book is unsealed. Listen to this. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren and the prophets. And those who heed the words of this book, worship God. Real clear. You don't worship angels. You don't worship saints. You worship God. And then in verse 17, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, the liars, and everyone who loves and practices lying. God, I believe, in these days is separating those who believe in his laws, those who believe in right and wrong from the Bible, and those who don't. And people are becoming forced or squeezed to make a decision of what is right and what is wrong. And that is coming through a man by the name of Trump. Now, I am not connecting here with the Trump of God to be this person Trump. But I want to show you a harbinger here. The beginning of something that God is doing. He believes, and this is not a political teaching now. I want to show you the insight, what I believe God is showing his church and how he's preparing the bride to be ready. Because there are those who are not choosing law. They're choosing lawlessness. They're being squeezed to make a choice to follow something. They're choosing their destiny. God is giving us a window of decision to get ready. To choose God and his way of holiness through natural situations. We are being squeezed to examine our hearts and choose right or wrong before the rapture and judgment comes. An example, the natural wall that Trump wants to build. It's not a matter of, I'm not saying here that people shouldn't come, but it's a matter of law to come in lawfully through an entrance. But if you're against that law of having an entrance, probably you're against Jesus' wall of saying, I am the only entrance to heaven. It's hard to have a belief in having lawlessness or having no entrance and then see Christ in the spiritual side and say, well, hey, I don't believe in, I believe everyone can go to heaven. No. You're making a choice. And I believe many times your moral choice in the natural is what you are in the spiritual. How about the wall of separation biologically, male and female, or the wall of marriage between a male and female. Those walls are being challenged. You can be who you want to be. You can marry two men. You can marry two women. So when you tell them, or you get challenged with that, you're being challenged to what God says. The law of what God said is this. Haven't you read that the one who made them at the beginning made male and female? And said, this is why a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So God established right from the beginning the law of separation. That wall is broken down. What side are you on? Your moral decision in that area is going to affect how you see God and what you think God is saying. God is causing a squeeze for people to make their choices. Let the righteous remain righteous. Let the ungodly remain ungodly. Let the man who believes in God follow his ways. And let the man or the woman who doesn't believe follow their ways. It's happening, church. Yes, it is. The big divide is happening. When the rapture comes, those who belong to him, the bride has made herself ready. But he's pushing us. He's pushing us. Check out and examine your motives of what you believe, why you believe, and then examine it next to what God says. You can't have both. How about the wall of protection for the innocent in a mother's womb? That too has been broken. That too is down where a person doesn't see it as life. But what does God say? He says in Psalm 127, children are a gift from the Lord. A productive womb the Lord will reward. Children are a gift. So how do you see the natural will tell me how you're looking at the spiritual. Because the spiritual is really what God is working in our hearts right now to get us looking to him and examining our hearts. Are people who believe in not having a wall of separation, whether it be a physical wall of an entrance, can they believe that and still be saved? Yes, I believe that. They could be. But I would have to examine closely what the next belief is. Where if a person now says, no, I believe that, but I don't believe Christ is the only entrance into heaven. I would tell that person, then you're not going to heaven, pal. You say, well, I got a big heart for everyone, but you're still not going to heaven. Jesus had a big heart for everyone, and he died for your sins. Amen. So you can make your choice. He'll never force you, but he will squeeze this nation, this world, for the bride to make herself ready. Hallelujah. To push you to a place where you stand up for what you believe in from God or from the world and sin. Let him who is righteous stay righteous. Let him who is filthy stay filthy. I'm coming soon. Be ready. Yes. The trumpet is about to blow. Jesus. It really is. It really is. You say, well, how do I know? I know that. Yeah. This doesn't give it any weight, but this was not what I was going to say this morning. This came at the end. Ask my wife. That's why I was late. God put this and impressed John. You got to say it. You got to speak it. You got to say it. You got to speak it. And it's truth. But it's nothing to us if we don't examine our hearts and see, are we ready for the Lord? Jeremiah 12, verse 5. Jeremiah was complaining about the hard times. And the Lord said to him, if you have run with the footmen, the cavalry, and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with the horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? If we can't stand up for the Lord now, how are you going to stand up during the tribulation?
Amen.
It won't happen. Stop fooling yourself. Either you're in or you're out. Either you are righteous and holy and you stand up for the things of God, or you don't.
Amen.
But don't fool yourself and think that it's not going to be judged. It will be judged. And if you belong to him, praise the Lord, you are excited about his second coming. But if you're doubting and you're not living and you're saying, God, I don't even know about any of this stuff, well, now is the time to get right and get ready. Harbinger, a harbinger, is something that precedes and indicates the approach of something or someone. It's the approach of Jesus Christ. It's giving us fruit. It's showing us we're not in the dark. We're children of light. God calls us to have insight. As I said earlier, Jesus said, you interpret the natural signs, but you're not interpreting my coming. You see, the natural signs that God is giving us must have insight to what is God saying. What is he saying to his church? And that's why you're here today, to hear this. The book is unsealed. Is it a coincidence? You have to figure this out. I'm not saying it is or is it, but isn't it kind of weird that his name is Trump? Well, we laugh and chuckle like that. But isn't he blowing the trumpet? Isn't he calling black, black, and white, white? Isn't he building walls of separation? Isn't he for religious liberties and the Christian more than any other person? Isn't he for Jerusalem and put there the capital of Jerusalem? What does that mean? No other president has done that. Come on, click. What is he saying here? Read the signs. What's going on? God is blowing through him. Because there's going to be a real trumpet. Are you ready for the real trumpet? If you're not ready for this trumpet that's been blowing about believing in the Lord and the trueness of God and not lying, and you're believing in justice, you believe in just law and order, then you could carry that into the spiritual, God's law and order. But if you don't like law and order in the natural, what makes you think you're going to like God's law and order? You won't.
Amen.
So God is squeezing the nations. He's squeezing the earth. Why? Because he wants us to be ready. He loves us.
Yes.
The bride has made herself ready. It is now the time, my brothers and sisters, it really is. I don't want to see anyone left behind. I don't want to see anybody go into the lake of fire. And I don't believe Jesus does either, because the Bible says that hell was made for the devils and his brood in Luke, not for people. But those who people make their choices, how does a choice come? It comes as you make choices in this world. That's your choice. That's your destiny. A choice is going to lead to a habit. A habit's going to lead to a destiny. And our destiny is going to be heaven if we're living righteous, if we're living godly, if we're depending on the Holy Spirit and we're calling out for the Lord for help, if we're depending on his grace, he's calling out his people. How else does he do it? How does he call out his people? He does it through his word. He does it through circumstances. But we have to make the choice.
Amen. Amen.
I really do believe with all my heart and mind. I'm not a preacher man just looking to preach. I'm telling you something here. God has given me a little insight here. Not because I'm anything perfect or perfect or anything. God forbid me say that. No. But either I'm bringing insight here or I'm a lunatic, one or the other. But if God is bringing insight to your heart and mind that he is really coming, and some way, somehow, this is going to stir up your heart to make a decision. If you belong to Christ and you're living in sin, it's time to repent of it and say, God, I've blown it. Give me grace. I need forgiveness. If you're following a path that's leading to more unholiness, we need to say, God, forgive me. I need to be more like you. Jesus is so sweet. He is so kind and so gracious. He forgives. He bends down. He washes feet. He's not a hard rock. He's not a hard nose. He is really, without him twisting your arm and making you say uncle, he is bringing out his truth to us. He'll never force your will. He won't do that. He'll send his spirit to speak the word of truth. He'll convict your heart. But there comes a time in your mind where you have to either say, I see it. I believe it. I need Jesus. And you make that decision on your own free will. God is speaking to you right now. The Holy Spirit is saying much to all of us. We could be too busy to hear it. We could be like those five who only had enough oil for a certain amount of time. They weren't prepared. And the call came, and they had no oil. They didn't get in. You interpret that. The five who had oil and were prepared went in. Do not, in this year coming, this is the final week, do not in this year coming live, if you're living unrighteous, the same way. Do not tempt the Lord. This is the time to make a decision for the Lord and say, God, I need your grace. Hallelujah. I am yours. I want to follow hard after you. Hallelujah. Do not let this coming year of 2020, it might be your final year. I do not know when Christ is going to come back. But I do believe that God sent this guy not so that he would bring peace in his government, but as a harbinger to show us, to hold back where evil was going to, and to make a consciousness in people's mind. Why is there such a split? It's not Republican, Democrat. Both need Christ. It's the decisions that you make to follow one or the other. What are you following? What principles of right and wrong are you following? And I do believe that he raised him for this period, for this certain time. Pray for your government because the Bible says it. Not because I say it, but the Bible says pray for your leaders, whether you like him or you don't like him. Amen. You pray for him. Amen. But I see it more than that. Yes, I don't like him because of some of his harshness, but as I read yesterday, God sent him to shake up. If he was just the normal type of rhetoric, you would not hear what's going on right now. We would not see things that we see now. Until Christ calls us home, I don't know how this is going to all end. I really don't. In terms of Christ saying, time's up. I don't know when that's going to be. But I can guarantee you, by the word of God, that he's coming for a bride who made herself ready. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I want to ask the worship team to come up. This is a time of holding down your mind right now. No conversations. This is eternity that's occurring. And Jesus has made it very clear. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What will you do? Will you serve the Lord in your house if you're the only one? Are there areas of our life? During this past year, there's sins, certain sins that cling to us. Are you ready to ask for forgiveness of that certain sin that's been clinging to you all year? Maybe it's unbelief. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's covetousness. Maybe it's gossip. But there are certain sins that occurred in our life and our patterns, maybe. And the Lord is giving us an opportunity to ask him to give us the grace to be set free from the slavery of these sins. A little yeast will decompose your spiritual life. Yeast decomposes the body physically, and it decomposes the spiritual body as well, both in your body and in the body of Christ. Get rid of that little yeast. How? By recognizing that God is saying to you right this moment, and you alone. Well, it's not for him or her. It's for you alone. And you say, God, I need forgiveness and I need grace. And God will say to you, Jesus will say, my grace is sufficient. My grace is right here for you right now. But you and me have to make that step boldly and confidently and humbly and come to the altar. Run to the altar. Strike when the iron's hot. Don't let it cool down in your head right now as we sing this song. You come to the altar and you say, God, I want you. I need you. Forgive me. I need grace. And you just come right now. Out of your seats.